Hello, New Covenant and friends. This is Ron Simpkins with you today. The theme of my teaching today is Jesus Abba, who is our Father in Heaven. Or, if you prefer questions, is Jesus God a good parent? It seems clear that Jesus wasn't the first Jewish person to call God Abba. But he related to God as Abba in a very consistent and uniquely interpersonal way, so much so that even when they were writing in Greek, both Mark and Paul thought it was very important to let us know that all those translations of the Greek in the New Testament, the Greek pater or patros coming into English as father, really reflect Jesus using Abba. Mark stopped to say that. When Jesus was praying in the garden, Jesus said, Abba, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. And then in Galatians, when Paul was wanting to impress on his readers that we're children of God, he says, because you're children of God, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, you're a child. And if a child, then you're an heir through God. Later, as the letters of the New Testament were being written, the authors in various times wanted to tell us that Jesus is still relating to God as his Abba. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3, and then again 17, blessed be the God and Father, Abba, of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Or as the book of Revelation starts, to Jesus, the Messiah, who loves us and freed us from our sins by his giving of his life blood and made us to be a kingdom of priests serving his God and Father, his Abba, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So when we pray that model prayer, we call our Father and say our Father in heaven, we're praying with Jesus to our Abba who is in heaven. Now, on a personal level, I've been really relating to God as Jesus Abba more and more in my daily prayers, and it's helping me to grow. It's important. I've got a long way to go, but I'm learning that that helps me be more authentic and more open. And I found myself thinking more and more about God as Abba from recent discussion with Ellen Dalkey, where the whole issue of using the word Father comes up, and we were talking about, well, it's really the relationship. It's not just the word or the role that God's after. And I've also been reading a book that some of you may no, David Serbo, he recommended a book about God's scandalous providence, and it's helped me again just think about Jesus Abba. But there's some immediate issues that come up with this talk about God as Abba or Father. And here are three of the big ones. Is this just another reinforcing of domination, hearing Father and seeing Father as primarily a dominating, authoritarian controller? And I think the answer, if you're talking about Jesus Abba, is no. Jesus Abba is vulnerable and risky, and he allows Jesus to make choices and even to question when he's in the garden and the cross is ahead and say, Father, I don't want this, and if it's okay with you, let's go a different direction. And there are choices, there's freedom to question, there's the whole vulnerability of God. Another issue that comes up is this just a reinforcing of patriarchy, of gender domination by males? I would say again, you know, Jesus lived in a very patriarchal world, and it shows, but he subverted that patriarchy in many ways. Even in teaching, that it's funny because it's so often referred to, but rarely referred to as a female imagery, but the imagery of new birth, God giving us new birth, is birth is from the mother, from the female. And God gives us new birth. very typical female imagery. And Jesus in parable, as he was preparing for the parable of the waiting father that we usually call the prodigal son, prepared for it by telling a parable about a peasant woman who plays the God role and loses the coin and then finds it and then has a great party, invites all the neighbors in, probably spends twice as much as she found in her lost coin. But then Jesus ends and says, just so is it with God, who rejoices over finding us. So Jesus was very quick, not only in his practice with women who were disciples, very important disciples, but in his teaching to not let the gender patriarchy be the issue, but the relationship is the issue. The author of the book I mentioned suggests that sometimes maybe it's helpful to think and speak of God, Jesus, Abba, as motherly father or fatherly mother. That seems to fit within the way Jesus thinks of God and thought about God. It's the parent-like relationship of a very good parent. Which brings me to the third issue. For some of you perhaps, the very sad experience is that the relationship with family of origin, with father, perhaps mother, perhaps with parents in general, is a difficult label because the relationship growing up was very bad, sometimes even abusive and terrible. If that's your experience, using those words, father, mother, even parent, may be very difficult. I would suggest that using Abba may help in that respect. It's an English word that comes from the Arabic, Aramaic and the Hebrew, and gives us a chance to let God renew our thinking about parenting in a whole different way, which is also the goal of this teaching. So as I said, I've been thinking a lot about it in my personal life, and so I started listing from my thoughts and my prayers and reading and talking and got up to about 12 different ways I think the Bible talks about God as Abba, a good parent. Not going to try to do 12, only going to try to barely touch on 4 today, and that'll have to be very brief. So here's the first. A good parent is stubbornly committed to wanting and acting toward what's really good for the children, for the child, even when it costs the parents a lot. That's the meaning of 3 of the really important words that are used in the Bible. In the Hebrew Bible, the word hesed, which is translated love or of loving kindness sometimes or other ways, but hesed is God's covenant love, God's stubborn commitment to good for his people, for his children. Comes into the New Testament, that thought, that concept as agape, stubborn commitment to wanting good for the children. And then the third word, the word covenant itself, is a binding promise that I'm going to work for your good. So Abba's commitment to our good is very much a part of what the Bible's trying to teach us, a good parent for the children. I had good modeling for that from my parents. Not everyone does. As I said, we have to let God reconstruct our thinking about it. But I did. My parents were committed to providing for children at all levels the best they knew how. That even included basic food and clothing. When my brother and I were young, my parents were very poor. I didn't learn until I was a much older adult, but there was a time when my brother and I were both under 5 years old that my parents, between paychecks, would have to go with nothing to eat so that my brother and I had something to eat and could go to bed not hungry and able to sleep and not grow up malnourished. My parents were willing to just not eat for us. It was costly, but they cared. To me, even more amazing in some ways is their stubborn commitment to work toward what was good for me when I was a very self-centered, rebellious teenager, doing all kinds of things that embarrassed my parents. We lived at that time in a small southern town, and everybody knew them and knew me. My grandfather was chief of police, had been a longtime resident there. My father was a pastor. He was a seminary professor, and he also had been a principal of the high school. It was my mother's hometown. I played basketball. Everybody knew all of us. But my parents, and I did a lot of really dumb stuff, and they're embarrassing, certainly, to the pastor and his family, my parents. My parents focused on trying to get me through that time without trying to help me not completely ruin my life or somebody else's life. It wasn't all about them. It was about helping me. Now, not all of you had parents like that. So learning to trust that Jesus Abba is really complete for you means learning to trust that Jesus knew what he was talking about and the way he lived, and that it's true that even when you embarrass and hurt God, Jesus is right. Abba is stubbornly committed to loving you and being good to you, and it includes you. And yes, probably don't like to think about it, but just as I was with my parents, sometimes we embarrass God, we hurt God, but God is committed to stubbornly loving us. Now that's a good parent. Not only is God committed to stubbornly loving us and being good to us, God gives us choices. Sharon taught about the wonderful gift of God giving us choices last week. If you haven't heard her teaching, please go back and listen to it. It's very important, very helpful. I want to follow up with just one thought about that wonderful reality that the God of the universe gives us humans meaningful choices. Now, that's somewhat contrary to some Christian teachings about predestination, but it's certainly the way Jesus related to God. It was not predestined, no choice. It was with many choices. A good parent doesn't see domination and control as the goal. A good parent sees the relationship as the goal and wants that relationship to be with a maturing child. And that means a child who learns more and more to make choices. This teaching's in the Bible in various ways. As I mentioned, Jesus talks about new birth. Well, that means, of course, there's a time when we start out relating to God with pretty immature. First Peter refers back to that new birth and says, we kind of start out like a nursing child, God feeding us with breastfeeding milk, the new birth, another female imagery of God, by the way. And so this Abba of Jesus is one who knows that we have to grow up. But he wants us to grow up. God wants us to grow up. Abba wants us to grow up. Paul uses a little different image to say some more of the same thing. He uses the image of adoption. And adoption has kind of two parts to it, and they make this point. The minute you're adopted, say you're a teenager, you're adopted into a family, that very minute you become the child of the parents. But if you've lived a life that's not that, and now you suddenly are, the other part is you begin a very long process of learning how to live like a member of that family. And both things are true. Immediate, become a child, and then you learn to be a child. It's the same in our relationship with God. God accepts us, adopts us, and then wants us to learn how to live like it. You know, we know this whole thing about maturing choices in our own families. We somehow just don't seem to realize that it applies to the relationship between us and God, to Jesus Abba. Let me give an example. As a parent of a three-year-old, I may very well say and be very clear, you, child, are never, ever to go on the street. You're finally letting a child go out in the yard and play, but never, never go in the street or else. That's your only choice. It's an appropriate way to deal with that three-year-old. as a parent, a good parent. But at six, the goal is the same, the child to be safe, sound, grow up. But the choice becomes somewhat different. Now, the child has to walk to school, so we say, never go in the street without looking both ways. And if there are any cars coming, don't go in the street until you wait till they pass. Then you choose when it's time to go and you hurry across and don't play in the street. That's being a good parent, but the choices are much broader now and much more flexible. That same child at 13, a good parent now says, now when you ride your bicycle in the street, we might say, I thought you said I could never ever go in the street. That was then. Now, when you ride your bicycle in the street, be careful and remember the cars always have the right of way, even if they don't. Stay away from the cars in the street. We want you alive and healthy. At 16, it sounds like exactly the opposite. Now, if you want to drive the car, stay in the street, please, not on the sidewalk. And be careful, follow the rules, especially be careful of children on bicycles and children crossing the street. Wouldn't it be sad if in our definition of parenting and commandments and all that parents thought that they had to have the same limited choices for a 16-year-old that they do for their 3-year-old. It's the same with God. God wants us to keep growing up and learning. This is taught individually in the Bible. It was Jesus' view of the commandments of the Torah. If you read through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says even God's involvement with us as in history as a human race has been one of, at first starting out with some very specific do not murder, but now wanting us to learn that the choices are really much deeper than that, that God wants. The real choices are, how do I learn to not even hurt people with my words or my anger, and to really, instead of hurting people, bless them, even when I don't particularly like them. Now that requires way, way more nuanced, prayerful choices than just not murdering somebody when I'm mad at them. But as a human race, we've had to learn those things. And as God's children, we've had to learn them. Paul described it as, he said, that God started out by giving very specific rules that were kind of like the slave who watched over the child at school to be sure every moment of the time that the child did what they were supposed to do. But Paul says, now God is moving toward wanting to guide us by his Spirit. And it's a much more open relationship. And it's in that very, very passage where he talks about that, that Paul says in Galatians 4, it's Abba who wants to further this relationship with us and teach us how to make choices as Abba's children. So, not only is a good parent stubbornly committed to our good, and not only is a good parent delighted as a child, less and less has to be strictly controlled and more can make meaningful, mature choices. A good parent, even though they want nothing but good for their child, doesn't try to protect the child from the real world with all of its bentness and brokenness, not completely. We know that they have to learn to live in it as they grow up. And that's part of the maturing process. Parents who try to protect their children from any hurt and any disappointment, any mistake, not only become way too dominant, but they actually stunt the child's growth as a mature human being. And again, we know that. We just don't realize that it's the same process that God goes through with us. The goal God has is not that we don't ever suffer and get hurt. I hear Christians teach that God doesn't ever want, everything's supposed to be good. We're never supposed to suffer. I mean, look at Jesus' life. I mean, he wasn't protected from hurt, suffering, and injustice, even finally from being executed unjustly. God's goal, Jesus' Abba goal in Jesus' life was clearly not to protect him. And Jesus didn't think that he was somehow entitled to avoid the pain and suffering of the world. Instead, to learn how God was even bigger and goes through it with us. And Jesus gives us a clear example. It doesn't always feel good. Sometimes it doesn't even feel like God's there. And Jesus prayed a prayer that we all sometimes understand. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's what it felt like. But God was there, and his Abba was there, and he commended his life into Abba's hands. So God doesn't protect us from the pain of this world, but he will be with us and teach us to grow and mature in it. And that's who Jesus Abba is. Finally, a good parent ultimately wants the children to inherit all the good things that the parent has to give. And God wants us to inherit forever all the good that God has for us. This includes, as individuals, our character. The promises are that God wants to make us heirs of the very character of God, the image of God, and complete the creation process. Male and female, fully in the image of God forever. Sisters and brothers to God's firstborn from the dead, Jesus, God's Messiah. Finally, completed as individuals into the image and likeness of God. Being in the image of God like Jesus is. In his relationship with Abba. Can you even imagine it? Being fully, completely who we kind of sense we ought to be and could be and finally are. That's the inheritance God has for us and promises us. And it's not just individual, it's community. As a family member, of God's children, forever family. Bible New Testament says that human culture ultimately will become, for the future of God's community, the best of all the cultures that ever lived, brought together into one. It'll also be no hurting, no lying, nobody hurting each other, nobody telling you lies, nothing to fear from anything or anyone. Or to put it very positively, a constant joyful party because the earth has become home for Abba and all Abba's children to be together forever. And then as a great bonus, the creation completed, finally freed from the brokenness and renewed into what's called the renewed heavens and earth. Where we can dwell face to face with God in this creation, or as Jesus said it, the meek will finally inherit the earth. That's why he said we could be blessed. Abba wants this joy for us. As a good parent, he wants us to inherit all of that. The individual character that finally is all we could be, the community that's all that community ought to be, and the creation, as we know, it could be without all the brokenness. In summary, we haven't seen anything yet. The suffering that's in this bent and broken world doesn't even compare with the inheritance that Jesus Abba has for us. I want to conclude with a prayer. Abba, help us hear you. Assure us of your parental love for us in the real world we live in. Please help us allow you to make these following words from Romans 8 more and more complete in our lives. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you didn't receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption as God's children. And when we cry, Abba, Father, it's that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus the Messiah. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Help us consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the entire creation waits with eager longing for you, Abba, to finally reveal us as the children of God. Amen.